By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, amma ba'd. فَأَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ بِسْمِ اللَّهِ الرَّحْمَنِ الرَّحِيمِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ وَعَلَى آلِكَ وَأَصْحَابِكَ يَا حَبِيبَ اللَّهِ الصَّلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ عَلَيْكَ يَا نَبِيَّ اللَّهِ وَعَلَى آلِكَ وَأَصْحَابِكَ يَا نُورَ اللَّهِ My dear viewers of Madani Channel, Alhamdulillahi Azza wa Jal, you are watching Rise and shine this beautiful morning. Let's begin this day by listening to the tilawat of the glorious Quran. We are still on Surah Al-Isra, Surah Bani Israel. Sallu al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim.
Main Allah Taala ki panah mein aata hoon shaitan-e-mardood se.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Allah ke naam se shuru jo nihayat meherban rahm wala.
Asa rabbukum an yarhamakum wa in 'udtum 'udna.
قریب ہے کہ تمہارا رب تم پر رحم کرے اور اگر تم پھر شرارت کرو تو ہم پھر عذاب کریں گے
وَجَعَلْنَا جَهَنَّمَ لِلْكَافِرِينَ حَصِيرًا
اور ہم نے جہنم کو کافروں کا قید خانہ بنایا ہے
اِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمُ وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ أَنَّ لَهُمْ أَجْرًا كَبِيرًا
بے شک یہ قرآن وہ راہ دکھاتا ہے جو سب سے سیدھی ہے اور خوشی سناتا ہے ایمان والوں کو جو اچھے کام کریں کہ ان کے لیے بڑا ثواب ہے
وَأَنَّ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ أَعْتَدْنَا لَهُمْ عَذَابًا أَلِيمًا
اور یہ کہ جو آخرت پر ایمان نہیں لاتے ہم نے ان کے لیے دردناک عذاب تیار کر رکھا ہے
وَيَدْعُ الْإِنسَانُ بِالشَّرِّ دُعَاءَهُ بِالْخَيْرِ وَكَانَ الْإِنسَانُ عَجُولًا
اور آدمی برائی کی دعا کرتا ہے جیسے بھلائی مانگتا ہے اور آدمی بڑا جلد باز ہے
وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ آيَتَيْنِ فَمَحَوْنَا آيَةَ اللَّيْلِ وَجَعَلْنَا آيَةَ النَّهَارِ وَجَعَلْنَا آيَةَ النَّهَارِ مُبْصِرَةً لِتَبْتَغُوا فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَلِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابِ
اور ہم نے رات اور دن کو دو نشانیاں بنایا تو رات کی نشانی مٹی ہوئی رکھی اور دن کی نشانی دکھانے والی کی کہ اپنے رب کا فضل تلاش کرو اور برسوں کی گنتی اور حساب جانو
وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَصَّلَّاهُ تَفْصِيلًا
اور ہم نے ہر چیز خوب جدا جدا ظاہر فرما دی
وَكُلَّ إِنسَانٍ أَلْزَمْنَاهُ طَائِرَهُ فِي عُنُقِهِ
اور ہر انسان کی قسمت ہم نے اس کے گلے سے لگا دی ہے
وَنُخْرِجُ لَهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ كِتَابًا يَلْقَاهُ مَنْشُورًا
اور اس کے لیے قیامت کے دن ایک نوشتہ یعنی تحریر نکالیں گے جسے کھلا ہوا پائے گا
اقرأ كتابک كفى بنفسك اليوم عليك حسيبا
فرمایا جائے گا کہ اپنا نامہ اعمال پڑھ آج تو خود ہی اپنا حساب کرنے کو بہت ہے
من اهتدى انما يهتدي لنفسه
جو راہ پر آیا وہ اپنے ہی بھلے کو راہ پر آیا
ومن ضل فإنما يضل عليها
اور جو بہکا تو اپنے ہی برے کو بہکا
ولا تزر وازرة وزر اخرى
اور کوئی بوجھ اٹھانے والی جان دوسرے کا بوجھ نہ اٹھائے گی
وما كنا معذبين حتى نبعث رسولا
اور ہم عذاب کرنے والے نہیں جب تک رسول نہ بھیج لیں
صدق اللہ العظیم
صلو علی الحبیب صلو اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلو اللہ تعالی علیہ وعلى آله وسلم. My dear viewers of Madinah, inshallah, mashallah, wa azzajal, you have just been listening to the recitation of the glorious Quran. Now, my dear viewers of Madinah channel, let's go to the Naad Sharif of the greatest of all mankind, the peace of our hearts and our minds, the most generous and kind, the last and final prophet and messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Rasulullah Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. Let's listen to the Naad Sharif. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
Ya Rasul Allah. Ya Habib Allah. Ya Rasul Allah. وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا گیا وہ پھر اس کے ٹکڑوں کو جوڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے جو علی کی عصر قضا ہوئی تو وہ وقت پر ہی ادا ہوئی جو علی کی عصر قضا ہوئی جو علی کی عصر قضا ہوئی تو وہ وقت پر ہی ادا ہوئی تو وہ وقت پر ہی ادا ہوئی چھپے آفتاب کو موڑ دے چھپے آفتاب کو موڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا چاند کو توڑ دے رخ نار ان کے غلام کو لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ رخ نار ان کے غلام کو لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ رخ نار ان کے غلام کو لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ وہ پکڑ کے خلد کو موڑ دے وہ پکڑ کے خلد کو موڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ پھر اس کے شکروں کو جوڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے وہ نبی کی موٹی کا معجزہ کہ وَمَا رَمَيْتَ كَهِ خُدَا وہ نبی کی موٹھی کا معجزہ وہ نبی کی موٹھی کا معجزہ کہ وَمَا رَمَيْتَ كَهِ خُدَا کہ وَمَا رَمَيْتَ كَهِ خُدَا وہ نگاہ کفر کی پھوڑ دیں وہ نگاہ کفر کی پھوڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ پھر اس کے شکروں کو جوڑ دے انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی وہ لعاب پاک سے جوڑ دیں وہ لعاب پاک سے جوڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ پھر اس کے شکروں کو جوڑ دیں انہیں اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں
صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Dear viewers of the channel, MashaAllah Azza wa Jalla, we've listened to the beautiful Naad Sharif. Alhamdulillah, you are watching Rise and Shine this beautiful morning. Now, today's topic is a beautiful topic, a very, very important topic. Today, Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla, we shall be speaking, listening, and hearing about the glorious Quran. Yes, the greatest of all books, a book written by no man. A book written by no man. And what was so brilliant about this is that remember that every language has its peak. There's a pinnacle for every language, you know, where it reaches a level, a new thing. This is when this language was at its peak. This is the time this language was at its peak, when the linguists, when they really flourished. For example, in the English, you know, there's the famous Shakespeare, isn't there, in English. That person is very, very famous for English. Well, that's the people who believe that he wrote them. Because there's even doubt as to whether he himself wrote them or whether he stole them. But Allahu Akbar, it doesn't really matter. The point being, during that time, English was at its peak, wasn't it? Only a few hundred years ago. Now, the Arabic language was at its peak over 1400 years ago. over 1400 years ago, during the era and even the generation before Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam, the Arabic language was at its peak. And people were masters in the Arabic language, normal people, Bedouins. They were very, very familiar. They were masters of the language itself. And nobody has reached such. It's stated that there was this marketplace in a place known as Uqav. It's a market of Uqav, and this would take place over a number of days. And within this place, there were many things. This was like an event. This was an entire event which would take place once a year. You know, the pilgrims would even go to this place. Many people, they would come and visit this place, because it would be, whether it's for purchasing, buying and selling things, it was brilliant. Whether it's for poetry, yes, people would stand there and recite poetry. And the people who would recite it in that place, it would become famous all over the Arab world. And the people would compete, because the best linguists would be present there. And they would compete in poetry. And there were these seven individuals who wrote these some couplets, you could say, stanzas possibly, of poetry. And that was considered the best ever written in the Arabic language. The best of the Arabic language. Imagine, in fact, it was so good that it was written and hung upon the Ka'bat al-Musharrafa. And they are known as Sab'a Mu'allaqat. These Sab'a, meaning seven. I don't know if I've got one there. But it's seven, my dear viewers. And Mu'allaq. Mu'allaq is that which is hanged. Which is being hanged. So it was hung upon the Ka'bat al-Musharrafa. This is how great they considered these words of poetry to be. So great that they were deserving to be hanged upon the Ka'bat al-Musharrafa, that sacred building, which, you know, where their so-called gods, their idols were, you know, who they believed to be God, who they worshipped. This is how great this Sab'a Mu'allaqat was. Now, those people who wrote these, they are known as to be the best Madhavis. And then during the same time, Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, so there are people who are there, they have heard of these, they know of these. And they think, wow, nobody has ever written such. Nobody can ever be this. Let's see who can be this. That was when Arabic was at its peak. And then a person was born, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, who grew up in front of them. They saw his actions, they saw his manners, they saw his etiquette. And they also saw that he never went to learn from anybody. He never went to, you know, study under somebody to learn the language as to how to write it. No. As to not even just writing it, understanding the rules of the Arabic language, etc., etc. Rasulullah, this young person, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he never went to any teacher. No. But he had the best of manners and etiquette. But they never saw him write or read under anybody. And now this person was given, at the age of 40, he was given the revelation. The Al-Quran Al-Kareem was revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then he spoke these words, he taught people, he showed people the words. Iqra' bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Allahu Akbar. And when the people, they heard of this, like, wow, where did this come from? People like Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was brilliant. He was a brilliant linguist. He himself was famous. Hazrat Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when, you know, he wished to, mazallah, kill Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This was in his mind. This is what his intention was. Why? Because he's speaking against the idols. But then he comes across the Quran. His own sister is reading the Quran. His own sister has accepted Islam. He thinks, first I'm going to go deal with her. He goes there, she shows him the Quran. He reads the Quran and he immediately testifies. This is the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the last and final book. Remember, there were other books. There was the Torah, which was given to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. Not the modern day Torah, no. The Torah, that which was given to Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. This was later changed by the people as they saw fit, as they wished, which suited them. There was also the Zabur given to Hazrat Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam. And the same happened with this. Then there was the Injil given to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Again, the same happened with this. And these are all nowadays, yes, compiled into the Old Testament, the New Testament, but very, it's been edited so much, things have been extrapolated, added, interpolated, you know, so many things have been added and removed from it that close to nothing of the original remains. This is the state of it. Whereas the glorious Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised to preserve the glorious Quran. It has been 1400 plus years, over 1400 years, and yet the Quran, not one letter of the glorious Quran has been changed. Not one letter. Every single letter has been preserved. The people have memorized this. And this is a book, my dear viewers of Madani Channel, which an-nadhru fil mushafi ibadah. That just by looking at this book, just by looking at the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, even this is ibadah. Reading the Quran Al-Kareem, this is ibadah. Listening to the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, this is ibadah. A person just by reading a single letter, they gain 10 rewards. Allahu Akbar. Imagine how beautiful this book is. In fact, looking at it increases a person's eyesight. Do you know this? By looking at the glorious Quran, this improves a person's eyesight too. Allahu Akbar. And the views of Madani Channel, we need to. Now, this, the Mus'haf, the Al-Quran Al-Kareem, that which we have in our homes, I would say nearly everybody has in their homes. There used to be a time where, yes, everybody definitely has in their homes, and they would just keep it in one place, and it would gather dust. Sadly, it feels even wrong to say this. It would gather, meaning it would become dusty. Allahu Akbar, how sad is that? But now, many people moving out to the new homes, etc., they've not even bothered to buy a Quran. You have to go sometimes to a home and, oh, we don't have the Quran. We've not moved it yet, we're still moving. Okay, that's reasonable. Possibly, yeah. But then, we've moved about a year ago, we just never got it. Allahu Akbar. We've just not got the Quran. Not having the Quran in a Muslim household. And we thought, previously we used to think, you know, there are, having the Quran and not reading it is very bad. And I was like, not having the Quran whatsoever. No, by the Quran. Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, the Quran with the English translation. And remember, so many people used to ask, which English translation would you recommend? I used to be worried. You know, I've read a few English translations myself, and I used to be worried. Can't give this one because there's this mistake in it, or there's a few mistakes here, many mistakes. But now, alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, we have one which has been read again and again and checked and overchecked and, you know, checked by an entire team many a times for mistakes. We're not saying it's completely free from mistakes. You know, human error, you know, typing error is always possible, my dear viewers. But alhamdulillah, azza is the best one you could find out there. And this is the translation of Kanzul Iman in the English language. This has been published recently by Dawat-e-Islami, and it is available for you to purchase, mashallah, all over the country. Now, they were selling many there, and I saw, mashallah, that many, and they were giving them out. And not just there, here in Bradford, in Birmingham, in London, you could find them everywhere, alhamdulillah, in the Dawat-e-Islami stores. So please do try to purchase this book, inshallah, what's so beautiful about the books of Dawat-e-Islami is that they are very, very cheap. They are very cheap because the purpose is not to earn money. No, the purpose is to share the information, is the dissemination of what? Islamic information, Islamic teachings, Alhamdulillah, Azzurul. This is the purpose of Dawat Islami. Not to earn money, no whatsoever. No, because Alhamdulillah is all about spending money. You hear many people, oh, this is our account balance. You know, especially on Fridays. Many people announce it on Fridays. This is our account balance. And then the next Friday you go and it's increased. A year later you'll go, it'll continue to increase. And you're thinking, they've not been spending money. What good is that money in the bank? What good is that money in the bank? The whole point of the money is for you to spend it. Spend it on the community. And this is what we should be doing. And sometimes when we do spend it, what do? We open community centers. Okay, they think, yes, this is a way to bring people towards the masjid. This is a way to bring people towards the masjid. What happens? They'll open a community center. People will play there. The time for Zuhr has come and they continue playing. The time for Salah, the Jamaat, has approached and they continue throughout the prayer, they're praying. The time for prayer has finished, they'll continue playing. And then when they finish praying, they're not going to the masjid. No, they'll just go back home. What have you just done? Is that inviting them towards the masjid? No, you've just given them another reason to commit haram. Remember, playing, especially during the time of prayer, or missing prayer due to it makes an action haram. A person is punished for the action itself and then they're missing the prayer. Allahu Akbar. So, you know, for masajid, really, the community, the people do give the money. But suddenly the masajid, they're not spending on the people. They're not spending on the community. Employ teachers, people who can teach the Al-Quran Al-Kareem to not only youngsters. Yes, everyone's doing it for youngsters, because if you don't do it, then you're in trouble. But do it for the rest of the people too. Do it for the elders too. And Alhamdulillah, Azzurra, these are the things which Dawat al-Islam is doing and has been doing for a very, very long time. My dear viewers, I'm on the name channel. Let's move to the daily reminder, inshallah, and then we shall come back. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our heart and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has stated, one who teaches Quranic recitation to his son will be forgiven for all of his previous and future sins. Subhanallah. In another narration, the Holy Prophet, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam, has stated, whoever learns the Quran in his youth, Quran gets intermixed with his flesh and blood. Furthermore, there are two rewards for the one who learns the Quran in old age and continues to learn it despite being made to forget it repeatedly. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And if you're on the channel, mashallah, you are watching Rise and Shine, alhamdulillah. Mashallah, we have a guest who has joined us. This is our respected Hafiz Rifaqat Sahib. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hafsab, jazakallahu khairah firstly for coming and joining us. Today, Hafsab, we are speaking about the glorious Quran.
MashaAllah.
One thing is that the best of you is he who learns and teaches the Quran. Famous Hadith Sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's why he's doing so much in terms of learning and teaching the glorious Quran. You yourself would have been teaching in Madrasat al-Madina. And you also mentioned a WhatsApp group that you have. I'm not sure if it's a WhatsApp group or...
Ji.
But you... the Quran, you together you complete the Quran.
We put a committee, I won't be... We called it a committee. Well, the idea came about, yeah, was that every week people put in money and then they get a lump sum part of that. Yeah. So what we decided, why not put a committee of the Quran where every week we'll have an opportunity to read the Quran. One para every week and 1,000 times Durood-e Paak.
Is it not too much for some people?
Not really, no. Alhamdulillah, some of them, they read it the same day. You know, and some of them, I told that even if you read three pages every day, you'll finish it in the week. Yeah, so 3 pages every day.
Okay, so 3 pages every day a person can finish it within the week.
You've got your, you know, that's the thing, the smartphone, use it for a smart reason, download the Quran there, and you can read it, alhamdulillah. So wherever you are, open the smartphone. And this is what I do normally, because I do a lot of traveling. Wherever I am, I'll sit down, and alhamdulillah, I'll open the Quran and I'll read my pare. You know, and it's very easy. Every week we get 2 Quran-e Paak and we get 60,000 Durood-e Paak. And I'm all the people that...
So you do the same with the Durood-e Sharif too?
Same with the Durood-e Paak. And at this moment in time, I think we've got more than, more than about 300,000-400,000 Durood-e Paak saved up as well. And then we keep a tally of it. And then the Quran-e Paak as well. Every week when we have 2 Quran-e Paak, we keep a tally of that as well. And alhamdulillah, last week, we've read the Quran twice. Any one person has read the entire Quran twice, you know. So if he started off with para number 1, he's finished the Quran once himself, then he's gone round again. So every week he's been reading one. After 52 weeks, you get 1 Quran Paak that person has completed himself.
So every single year, a person has completed the entire Quran.
Yeah. So
if they're reading it once a week or one para a week, then within 30 weeks, they should have completed anyway.
So every 30 weeks, we have 1 Quran-e Paak.
So how is it they've completed 2 within 52 weeks?
No, we've completed 2. So it's been, basically, it's been 60 weeks.
Just over a year. I was thinking within the year.
So we've been at it for 60 weeks now, alhamdulillah. And you know what it is? A lot of people are saying that without this, we wouldn't have that, you know, mindset to read the Quran. But because we've got to read it, we've got to read that Durood-e Paak. And sometimes you do get a few people, Afsab, can you not me name off, please? I can't read it from now on. So I don't let them go easily. So one of the brothers, mashallah, he rang me this Sunday when I was giving the new Quran, the pare out. And he goes, is it possible that I could be, you know, excused? I goes, why? He goes, I'm a bit too busy now. I goes, look, are we so busy that we don't have time to read the Quran? The next text message was, I'm really sorry. Please don't knock my name off. I'm going to continue. So what they need is just a bit of a mindset that, look, what we're doing is reading the Quran. Why would you want to leave the Quran for the dunya? So now, we've come into the grip of the shaitan, that the shaitan is making us move away from the Quran. You know, look at your timetable, look at your jadwal. You have to fit it in. Work around the Quran. Don't work around, your other timetable.
Mashallah, what's happening in our family, what they've done is, extended family, that is.
Mashallah.
Mashallah, they've made a WhatsApp group.
Ji.
So again, it's using social media for for Islamic benefit, shall we say, rather than harm. And so they've made this group, and we have it as 1 para a month. 1 para a month. Which is good, is we're starting.
Better than nothing, it's isn't
better,
it? Yeah.
Exactly, better than nothing. Many people don't open the Quran entire year. But one thing I experienced is one person said he didn't know that the purpose of that group was to be reading the Quran. And it was called, I think, Quran group or something along these lines. And what this person said, like, oops, when they gave the names out, this person has to read this para. And he said, oops, I didn't know we're going to have to read the Quran.
Yeah.
And which is sad. But then everyone started, saying to him, that's the whole point of the group. And then what that person said was, he goes, okay, then, it's actually good because I needed a reason to start.
Mm.
And subhanAllah, that even if, I think this would have happened with more than one person. That's just one person that I heard of. I was there and I heard. But it would be many other people who feel the same, that they don't read the Quran. Sometimes they need some sort of encouragement. And this, mashallah, is brilliant. The way you've said it, you recite it every week. And hopefully, we can intend to move towards that too. But even reciting it every month, maybe you recite about a page a day. How much would it be?
If you recite 3/4 of ruku every day, that's like 2 pages every day. Or so even a page, not even a full page, to be honest with you.
A page a day.
Yeah, a page a day, which is nothing, to be honest with you. Yeah. You've got 24 hours, even if you sit after namaz and read a few lines, that, alhamdulillah, that'll be okay as well. Yes. But the thing is, we've got to start somewhere. I was in Madina Sharif, one of the Islam brother who was traveling with us, he spent a lot of time in Masjid al-Nabawi. And I said to him that, mashallah, I see you're spending a lot of time in the Masjid. And he goes, I'm trying to finish the Quran whilst I'm in Medina. So he finished the Quran in Medina in 5 days.
Mashallah.
In 5 days, he finished the Quran. Why? Because it's Darj Khatam Sharif. And I goes, look, I said, you know, mashallah, you did a fantastic job. Allah bless you. Your father is lucky that he's got a son like he was reading the Quran. What about your own sons? Yeah. No. What about your own sons? Do they read the Quran? No, they don't. So you, therefore, that Quran reading is going to finish when you die. Your sons are not going to read it. Pass this legacy on to your children. Or else when you die, there'll be no one reading the Quran. You know, a lot of the times when you go to someone's Khatam Sharif, yeah, indeed. How many Quran Pak, I went to the Khatam the other day, and you know what happens? Hafsa, my dad's Khatam Sharif, have you got any Quran Pak? Yeah, his brother rings me up, Hafsa, my dad's Khatam, have you got any Quran Pak? You know, we get a message from the sisters, my dad's Khatam, have you got any Quran? I go, there's one family, but everyone's coming to me. You know why? Because Alhamdulillah, I read the Quran. Indeed. And I, you know, we went there on Khatam Sharif and they said, MashaAllah, we've got two Quran Pak. And you know what I said? I said, Bande baithe ho sansare. I goes, look, these Quran Pak, I know where you got them from. As a family, you have read nothing. Yeah, you have read nothing for your father who's died 1 year ago. And this is what he deserves, that we make khana, we make food, and we think that is enough. That is, you get reward for that as well. But the Quran, Isale Sawab, Durood Pak, you haven't read anything for him. Now, just imagine, if you have not read anything for your father, do you think someone's going to read for you? And this is going to stop here, isn't it?
Yeah.
And we need this to be continued. If you want to make your children pious, you've got to be pious yourself.
Yes.
Sadly, what we do is, we've had a discussion with an Islamic brother. You know, he wasn't in the mahol. His children were now 12, 13. Mm-hmm. And he goes, he was one of them chillers, you know, film or videos here, chilling out here and there. Never paid attention to the children. One day, when Muballi gave him dawah to the ijtima, he came. We changed his life. Now he's, mashallah, Imam Dari Sharif, but his children are away from the deen. Now he goes, it's very, very difficult for me to bring them because I was the one that was telling them, Mubolvina bano. Now it's very hard for me to convince my children to come in.
You see, a lot of people think that, and sometimes there is this transformation of the parents, but where they lack, or where the problem lies is, but nowadays what we do is that even our children, we order them, do this, like, why do I need to do this? I don't know, you just have to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
So we don't really understand, so how can we get them to actually love or enjoy doing it?
You know, I met with a couple of young lads in the Ijtima, and I started talking to, you know, as I was doing the Bayan, not this week, a few years ago, I was looking at them and they weren't really much bothered about it. So I thought, I'm going to talk to these guys. So after the Ijtima, when everyone was meeting, yeah, I went, you know, obviously they were sat at the back, yeah, chatting away. So I went up to them guys and I go, Assalamu alaikum. They stood up, you know, mashallah. I gave them a gift as well. And I goes, you know, you guys, mashallah, you've come to the, how do you find it? And you know what, I was happy when they told me the truth. It goes, you know, we were really forced to come today, definitely, you know, to be honest. My dad forced me. So I goes, look, Putar, why did your dad tell you to come to the Ijtima? It's because he wants you to learn about the deen. You are a Muslim. Is it not important for us to learn about, you know, just that 5 minute little conversation, up till now, every week they come to the Ijtima. So the first week they were forced. The next weeks, they were not forced. Why? Because now they know a reason why they're going to the Ijtima as well. Oh. So, you know, sometimes saying to your children, don't do that. You know, tell them why. Yeah, don't do that because this is the reason.
I think this is really, especially nowadays, Hafsa, because I remember us, we used to be like, why? This is the time. Do you know, in the previous times, whenever our grandparents possibly can say, used to tell our fathers that do this, that's it, quiet. I'm going to do it. Why? Because my father said, that's enough.
Yeah.
Now, for them, that was enough.
Alhamdulillah.
But sadly, for us, it's not enough. I want to understand why. Why is it good? Why is it beneficial for me? What are the virtues in doing so? And, you know, we need to understand.
What do I get out of it?
Exactly.
You know, and then another thing that regarding parents, do not, you know, say anything to your children negative in front of other people.
Yes.
This guy comes in, he goes, hey, mare mure ki bande na putar banao. I goes, look, you know, socho baya kya tu sa. You know, you just said to me, si bande na putar banao. So that means, who are you then? Masala hai ki, why are you telling that in front of everyone? You know, you're belittling the guy. You know, at the end of the day, I heard later on that the guy ran away from home. And he's come back now, alhamdulillah. But the thing is, why do you need to do that? Again, it's parenting. We know, we need to know how to parent our children as well. And you belittle them in front of them. You know, hey, istara karna, you're telling the whole sins, what they do in front of other people. Are they going to be your best friends? No, they're not.
Befriend your children. And subhanAllah, today people speak about having that link and breaking that barrier, that difference between the father and child, the mother and child, whatever it may be. But we need to be a little, we need to be more open.
You know, one of the things that I found out, Shabazz, my sons, mashallah, they've grown up as well now. And one of the beautiful things that I've learned how to get close to you is washavir hum fil amr. You know, sit down, have mashura with them. Acha putr, I want to do this. What do you think? And you know what? You know, they feel like as you know, they said, oh, I think we should do this. You know, I'm trying to do this. Do you think that is better? So us sitting down as a family, having a mashwara, that's brought us all together, alhamdulillah.
Mashallah.
You know, every day, mostly on nights, yeah, we all get together. We might have a zaini azmaish every day. We might have a mafil anata home every day. Wow. And one of the things is that we discuss things. We discuss the madani work. So that, you know, alhamdulillah, he felt proud that, look, I went to the ishtima, it's my zimadari, I did this. And that's, you know, give me a pat on the back.
MashaAllah. There's a hadith sharif of Rasulullah sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam stated, Al-Qur'anu shafi'un mushaffa'un.
SubhanAllah.
But then it states, Mahilun musaddaqun. Allahu Akbar. This is very, very important. That the Qur'an is shafi', it is an intercessor. Such an intercessor whose intercession shall be accepted.
SubhanAllah.
But then the Qur'an is mahilun. It is also an opponent. The Quran is also an opponent, musaddaqun, which shall be accepted. What does this mean? The hadith continues. Man ja'alahu amamahu, that person who brings the Quran before themselves, qadahu ila al-jannah, it shall lead them to paradise. Why? It is shafi' and it is mushaffa. It is shafi', it shall intercede, and its intercession shall be accepted. But then, it is also mahilun musaddaqun, it is also an opponent, that Allah person who places it behind him, then it shall take them to the fire of hell.
Allah.
The Quran is our, you could say in a way, our jannat and our jahannam too. It can send us to paradise, it can take us to paradise, but it can also lead us to the fire of hell.
You know the Quran, the verse, may you can explain that. Watu izu man tasha, watu zillu man tasha. What can you say about that? You know, that is zillat and izzat is from, you know, if you read Allah the Quran, the izzu man tasha, wa tuzillu man tasha. You know, one of the things that is, you know, what you mentioned, Amir al-Sunnat was talking about that as well, that, you know, when we leave the Quran behind, it means when you don't follow the Quran,
yes,
when you don't read the Quran. We've got many copies of the Quran. Just one thing, Shabazz bhai, there is only one Kaaba in the world. People spend thousands of pounds to go and see the Kaaba with their own eyes. Yeah,
Allah.
And just imagine if we had one copy of the Quran, how much would you spend to go and see that Quran? People would give a lot of money to go and see the Quran. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us that we've got the Quran, many, many copies at home. One day, Imam Sahib, someone rang him up and goes, Qari Sahib, I need some Quran. And he goes, yeah, no problem. How many do you need? He goes, as many as you have. He goes, okay. So he went downstairs, you know, looked into the stockpile and he goes, right, I've got about 10 of them. So he goes, yeah, I've got 10 of them, my job. He goes, oh, brilliant. So he came down and he goes, Quran? He goes, yeah, 10 of them. He goes, no, I want you to read them for me. I meant, give me the Quran ready. He goes, Pagal, how can I read 10 Quran? He goes, I thought you wanted to buy the Quran. And I went to Portugal. This was back in 2000. We celebrated the millennium in Portugal. And I was there. And this imam of the masjid was there reading. He was reading 10 pare every single day. And then he had to read the Taraweeh, you know, with me in the evening. And I could see that, you know, his health is deteriorating. He's just come from Africa as well. And I said, wow, why are you, you know, so, you know, always reading the Quran? Is that, mashallah, it's good that you're reading it, but it looks like you're being forced. He goes, yeah, the sadr of the masjid, the chairman, is his dad's khatam to, you know, like, next week, and I've only got 3 days to finish it.
No way.
Seriously, that guy, you know, after that, he about 3-4 days, he was just in the bed. That was so mentally disturbed he was, that he had that pressure on him that he had to finish that Quran. And that guy was chilling out himself, whose father is khatam, he was chilling out. And Imam Sahib, because we pay him money, jao Imam Sahib, Quran padho, you need to finish it. And because bichare ghareeb son, and you know, I said, then sat that chairman down and goes, this, you know, what are you doing? You know, it's your dad, why does he do have to read it? Tusan kya padhya, what have you read for your father? You know, and this is what
about the permissibility of, you know, paying somebody to read them and forcing them, and you know, this Sharia, there's so many problems.
And you know, and so there are so many issues at this moment in time. Majority of the people don't read the Quran, but when it comes to someone dying, would that, the other thing is, would they be able to read the Quran properly as well? You know, I got a message, can you read this part, so on, so para. And I said, Labbaik, I will read it for you, inshallah. Mm. And then I send him a text message. I goes, I've seen the group, yeah. These guys don't even know how to do wuzu, and you've given them to read the Quran, para. Mm. You know, have you ever asked them, can they read? All these 60 people that are in my group, they are all that can read with the tajweed. If they can't read with the tajweed, we teach them, we get them to that level. Alhamdulillah, I've got two or three now, they're in that group now. So can they read with the tajweed? If they don't, then that reading is not reading, is it?
Yes. Allahu Akbar. This is a point I was hoping to get to. MashaAllah, you've mentioned it, that one thing is reading the Quran and another is reading it properly.
Ji.
You know, we've heard many times of not being able to read it with tajweed and how this impacts the meaning of what you are reciting, what you are saying. It sometimes completely changes the meaning. And it is necessary upon everybody to learn the glorious Quran and to know it, being able to distinguish one letter from the next, etc., in order for you not to be changing the meaning of the Quran. It is very, very important for each and every single one of us. Let's move to the daily hadith sharif. Ashab, I know you have so much more to say. Let's first move to the daily hadith sharif. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
The Quran, which is the clear criterion, the book for all Muslims, in fact for all mankind, if you want guidance, recite the Quran, read the Quran, understand the Quran, what the scholars have written in the commentary of the Quran. But this Quran that we have, it's not just to wrap up in a beautiful cover and place at an elevated place in our homes. No, we have to read it. We have to open it to gain fuyudat, blessings from it. And listen to what the Prophet ﷺ said about the person who acts upon the Quran. Sayyidina Mu'adh al-Juhani radiyallahu ta'ala, he narrates this hadith which is found in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad. He says that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Man qara'a al-Qur'ana," whoever recited the Quran, وَعَمِلَ بِمَا فِيهِ, and he acts upon what is mentioned therein, his parents will be made to wear a crown on the Day of Judgment. Such a crown, ضَوْءُهُ أَحْسَنُ مِنْ ضَوْءِ الشَّمْسِ, its luminosity will be greater than the luminosity of the sun. فِي بُيُوتِ الدُّنْيَا, the sun, when it's shining bright, and it's as if it's inside your home because of its brightness. It's as if it's inside your home. لَوْ كَانَتْ فِيكُمْ فَمَا ظَنُّكُمْ بِالَّذِي عَمِلَ بِهَذَا. So if this is the martaba, the rank of the parents, then what do you think about the son who himself has been acting upon the Quran? SubhanAllah, what daraja will he attain on the Day of Judgment? So it's very important for parents and children to note this hadith, keep it in mind. If the parents want their akhirah to be like this, they want to wear crowns on the Day of Judgment, and the description of the crown was given as well, then we must ensure our children read the Quran and act upon it. And the children, if they want their parents to gain such honor on the Day of Judgment, they must also follow the teachings of this hadith. May Allah enable us to love the Quran wholeheartedly, to recite it and understand it, and thereafter act upon it as well.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And if you are on the channel, mashallah azza wa jalla, you are watching Rise and Shine. That was the daily hadith sharif. Hafiz, reading the Quran is of no doubt, is very, very important to read the Quran. How can we do? For example, that one group, that group, that's brilliant. Which other way, how can we develop this love for the Quran?
I think number one is that why would you read the Quran? You know, if I'm not wrong, when you read the Quran, you are talking to Allah Azza wa Jal. Yeah, you are talking, you're reading the kalam of Allah Azza wa Jal. And sometimes, you know, people, when they say we don't get time, you know, I guarantee you, you know, I've heard, I don't know how true this is, that when you read the Quran and you don't get time to make the dua, Allah will still bless you more than those people that make the dua because you are reading the Quran, you know. And then Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jal, the Quran is our holy book, is our, you know, Alhamdulillah, it's our savior. It's our, you know, when you get a new item, an electrical item, you don't know how to work it, you get the manual. The Quran is the manual of life. You know, wow. You know, if you read the history, yeah, can you remember that that cup of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came into a country, and the whole country came to a standstill.
I saw that clip.
Yeah, the whole country came to a standstill. Why? Because it's the cup used by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And look at the love that they have for that. Now the Quran, you know, it's the word of Allah azza wa jal. And you know, alhamdulillah, it was read by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a guidance as well. Let's not leave the Quran just when someone dies in our family. Make sure you read it every day and you'll get the blessings as well. I've seen it in my life, alhamdulillah. You know, when they say that if there's any problems or issues, recite durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah ta'ala will make it easier for you. Mm-hmm. Reciting the durood and reading the Quran, can you imagine how many blessings you will have? I have seen it, Shabazbe, in my own life as well. You know, you go through some very tough times as well, but there is one thing that you turn to. Turn towards the Quran. Turn to read the Quran. So alhamdulillah, azza wa jal, we need to make sure we read the Quran for blessings. You got a problem in your life? Read the Quran. Or in a non-galmukid paise wapas. Alhamdulillah, I've seen that with my own eyes.
Subhanallah. Many viewers, we have the Quranic wonders. Let's, inshallah, azza wa jal, turn to the Quranic wonders. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi. وعلى آله وسلم.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Let's talk about a very unique story that has been mentioned in the Quran. You maybe know this story. This story is about a cow, the most expensive cow in the world. What is the story? Let's listen. The story is that there was a very pious person in Bani Israel who had a young son. He had a single calf only in his property. Just before his death, that pious person took the calf to the jungle and left it by a bush, saying, O Allah Azza wa Jal, I leave this calf under your protection until my son reaches puberty. After this, the pious person died and the calf grew to a cow. With the passage of time, and his son grew up to be a righteous man who was very obedient to his mother. He had divided his night into three parts. He used to sleep in one part, worship in the second part, and serve his mother in the third part. Also, he used to travel to the jungle every day in the morning to fetch wood, which he used to sell. He used to do sadaqah, charity, of one third of his earnings, spend one third on his personal needs, and give one third to his mother. One day, the mother said to her son, O my beloved son, your father left a calf for your inheritance that he had left near such and such a bush under the protection of Allah Azza wa Jal. Now go to that bush and supplicate in this way, O Rabb of Sayyiduna Ibrahim, Ismail and Ishaq alayhimus salatu wassalam, return me the thing my father gave under your protection. She further said that the calf was yellow colored and its skin would be glistening in such a way as though the rays of the sun are emitting from it. Hearing this, the boy went to the jungle and supplicated by that bush. All of a sudden, the cow came to him running and stood by him. He brought it home. His mother said, My son, go to the market and sell the cow for 3 dinars, but do not sell it to any buyer without consulting me. In those days, the usual cost of a cow was about 3 dinars. A buyer came in the market who in reality was an angel. In fact, the angel said, I will pay you more than 3 dinars on a condition that you sell me the cow without consulting your mother. The boy replied, No matter how much you offer me, I will not sell the cow without consulting my mother. Reaching home, the boy related the whole event to his mother. She said, Perhaps the buyer was an angel. Therefore, O my son, consult him whether we should sell the cow or not. Thus, when the boy consulted with the buyer, in the market, he advised not to sell the cow. He said that in future, the people of Sayyiduna Musa alayhi salatu wasalam will come to buy the cow.
He further advised to demand the price equivalent to the amount of gold that can be filled in the hide of the cow. They will pay the price he wishes. Therefore, after a few days, a very rich person from Bani Israel named Amir was killed by his two paternal cousins, and they threw his body in a desolate place. The next morning, the search for the murderers began. After getting no trace, people went to Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and asked about the murderer. He alayhi salatu wasalam ordered them to slaughter a cow and strike the dead body with its tongue or the bone of the tail, and the murdered Amil will resurrect and tell you the name of his killer. Hearing this, Bani Israel raised questions and arguments about the age, the color of the cow. When they finally understood the type of the cow that was required, they began the search for it. When they reached the cow of that boy, they realized that this was exactly the same cow that they are looking for. Therefore, they paid its price equivalent to gold filled in its hide and slaughtered the cow. Then they hit the corpse with the tongue or bone of the tail, and the dead person, Amil, came back to life. He said that his killers were the two sons of his uncle who killed him due to greed of his wealth. After telling this, he died again. Therefore, both of the killers were killed in return, and the child of the pious person, who was very obedient to his mother, became very rich by getting lots of wealth. Subhanallah. What a beautiful story. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla. Many times, you know, you thought to yourself, you know, what does Baqarah mean? And why did Allah Azza wa Jalla reveal this story of the cow inside the glorious Quran? Now you know why. Alhamdulillah Azza wa Jalla. Those who are listening, make sure that you are obedient to your parents. Make sure that you are obedient to your Rabb Azza wa Jalla. And make sure you give plenty in charity. Because if we are pious ourselves, inshallah Azza wa Jalla, in return, our children will be pious as well. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. And if you're on the channel, mashallah, Azza wa Jalla, you are watching Rise and Shine. That was the Quranic wonder. And there are many wonders of the glorious Quran. Just remember, there are many miracles of the glorious Quran. And just reading one, he did mention that when you do go back to the Quran, how do you feel whilst reading the Quran?
You know, to be honest with you, Shabab, Alhamdulillah, Azza wa Jalla, I went to Masjid al-Nabawi a few days when I was there. And I sat there from Zuhr till about Isha namaz. And all I did was read the Quran. And I felt so beautiful that, you know, after a long time, for so long, I've sat down because I had nothing else to do anyway. So Alhamdulillah, I read the Quran. And, you know, seriously, if people really sit down, open the Quran and read it as a Quran, as the book of Allah, then you'll find, you know, the miracles that will happen inside you. A lot of the time, people nowadays, they were depressed. We've got this problem, that problem. To get rid of them, read the Quran. You'll see that your mind will be very, very...
The Quran is shifa.
Alhamdulillah.
Yeah. Subhanallah. Many people, when they do go to Madinah, they'll go shopping. This is what they'll
do. That's gone as well.
But how some of these... What do you mean it's gone? Are the shops
closed? 7% of the shops are closed. They're all gone.
So now people just wouldn't go.
No.
They'll think of when everything opens up, then we'll go. Allahu Akbar. A person who does go once, they do feel like it's upon them to go shopping and buy things. And one person wants this and this person wants that. And it does become difficult.
I met someone at the airport and he goes, Afa sahab, a list karu diti and I need to buy these things. I go, are you going for shopping? Yeah. So Umrah could be a holiday. It couldn't, you know, and sometimes people sell everything at the airport and they come back. Basically, they leave all the ruhaniyat there and come back. They start shouting, they start swearing, back to normal routine again.
What advice would you give to those people who do need to, for example, do some shopping?
No, the thing is, have your shopping is like, why would you want to have a window in the house, that, you know, I will have the fresh air. And someone said to him, if you had the window because you could hear the azan, you're going to get the fresh air anyway. You're going to do the shopping anyway. But don't have that on your mind. Have ibadat, you know, tawaf and all the mashallah. Some of the guys, they were doing tawaf every single day. You know, alhamdulillah, we had people, you know, we had about 6 days. They did about 7 umrah. And for tawaf, one of the brothers, mashallah, he did about 55 tawaf while he was there. So that, I mean, how many tawafs he did. So that was it. But he still did the shopping. Yeah, but for those people who were just went there to do the shopping, they did the same amount of shopping. But what ibadat did you do? Yes. Nothing.
It's all about time management, isn't it? And making use of your time, especially with the glorious Quran. We do time management. We have time for everything we need. Quran time. Which is the best time of the day?
Best time, the scholars will say, will be tahajjud time. When you wake up, read your tahajjud, and then sit down and read the Quran. If you can't, nowadays it's so easy. You know, nowadays what happens is, my day doesn't pass by if I don't go to the gym in the morning. Yeah, mm-hmm. So that's your mentality. You think your gym is everything. But ask those people who say, my day starts when I read the Quran. Look at the difference. Wasn't the katija si? You can still lose weight. Yeah, instead of having earbuds and listening to music, why can't you listen to the Quran and, you know, do your exercises?
Exactly, right? Continue doing your work. SubhanAllah, we have a few minutes left, Hafsa. Reading the Quran is of utmost importance. We need to make sure, what are the prerequisites? So one thing is our ablution, for example. Learning a ghusl, learning about ablution. Because if we're not doing that, then we're not getting a reward for reading the Quran. Neither are we going to gain the benefits of reading the Quran. After this is learning how to read the Quran. So for this, what recommendations would you give?
I think Dawat Islami, we mentioned it many times. There are Madrasatul Madina Balighan, adults madrasa. They are teaching free, fee sabilillah. You could be online, you can come to a place where they'll teach the Quran. And I know a person, mashallah, he was 65 years old. And now when I say to him, Haji Aisam, how do you feel? He goes, hun pata lagna ke main Quran padhi rahi hun. You know, well, alhamdulillah, now I feel I'm reading the Quran.
This is a Dawat Islam application. What experience do you have with that? Have you been using it?
The
Quran application. The Qaida one, sorry.
But the Qaida one is brilliant, alhamdulillah. Everything's on there. You know, you go onto YouTube, there's so many, you know, the whole Madani Qaida is on YouTube as well. As a class, you can learn the Quran as well.
Inshallah. The application, what I discovered on the application was that you can click on it. This is the Madani Qaida one. If you were to click on it, it reads out to you. MashaAllah, it reads it out to you brilliantly. So you know, then you can read it after and you can learn like this too. So it's brilliant. So mashallah, there are people who, and I would recommend others too, mashallah. In our family, we have this group, and mashallah, you're saying you finish the Quran twice every week. We've got to about one of, this is actually the first month, by the way. So we're in the middle of it. But we're expecting to have it finished.
How many people have you got?
So there's about 50 or so people.
Mashallah. You need another 10 every month, you'll have a Quran?
Another 10 or 15, and we'll have two Qurans every month.
Alhamdulillah.
Inshallah. My dear viewers, alhamdulillah, that was today. Jazakallahu khairah. Our respected Hafiz Baqir Sahib. Mashallah, a Hafiz Quran. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him more blessings. May Allah ta'ala grant us the ability to learn the Quran and also then to read the Quran regularly and teach it. Inshallah, we shall be returning for more Rise and Shine, for Allah Ta'ala wills. Sallu ala al-Habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alihi wa ala alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end. And the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.